Welcome back to the NFP's Draft Countdown Podcast. I'm Matt Bowen. Going to be joined here in a second by the National Football Post's Wes Bunting. We're going to break down receivers today. Last time we talked, it was all about the quarterbacks. Cam Newton, Blaine Gabbert, Ponder, Locker, etc. We ran through all of them. But today we want to get into wide receivers and really start to break down this position and start to talk about some draft positioning too. You know, do we see two guys in the top 10? Do we see someone slip? And what about the second-tier guys? And also, when we talk to Wes, we'll talk about some sleepers as well, some late-round guys that, you know, could still be an upgrade because there's a lot of teams out there right now that really need a true number one wide receiver and also need to upgrade their depth at the position. So let's bring in Wes. And Wes, let's start right away. If you're drafted right now, if you're a general manager, who is the number one wide receiver on your draft board and tell me why? Sell me on it.
Oh, it's absolutely A.J. Green. There's not too many 6'4" receivers, Bowen, that has the kind of fluidity and flexibility in the hips that Green possesses. I mean, usually you see these bigger physical wide receivers. They have to gear down in order to get out of their breaks. They have to chop their feet, allowing defensive backs to jump routes. I mean, he's as fluid and generates a real burst in and out of his breaks, which I love. Great ball skills, awareness to go pluck the football. But then he gives you that vertical threat down the field. Now, he's not an out-and-out burner, but either is Larry Fitzgerald. But he gives you that vertical threat because of his ability to go up and make a play on the football at his highest point. I think he plays faster on tape than Julio Jones. And he's the guy, with the NFL being all about the big plays, in my opinion, I think he's the best receiver in the draft. What do you think?
I'm going to agree with you. I think he's a better route runner, too. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one thing you look for with college kids coming out is how they run routes. We'll get into some of the names later, but you and I were sitting down in Mobile watching some of these guys run routes, and we saw how sloppy they were. You know, how they'd round their cuts, how they weren't explosive out of their breaks. You know, and that takes a long time to teach at the NFL level. You want a guy that comes in that's pretty crisp. You know, they're not going to be perfect. We're talking about college kids. But with Green, I think he's a better route runner than Julio Jones. Obviously, all the talk is about Julio Jones, Wes, because of the combine. I mean, this guy blew up the combine. Running a 4.39 in Indianapolis is unreal. At that size, it just is. And I understand he's a big play guy as well, but I'm with you. I'm going to go with Green. He's going to be the first wide receiver off my board. I think he's a safer pick than Julio Jones. Not that Julio Jones is not going to be a productive wide receiver, but I can actually see Jones slipping a little bit. I know you have him going real high in your last mock. You have him at at Cincinnati, number four, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that could really happen. I talked to someone on the radio today out in Cincinnati about the idea of taking a guy like Julio Jones at number four, picking up a free agent quarterback with a guy like Mark Bulger, and getting one of those second-tier quarterbacks to start developing, assuming that Carson Palmer's not going to be back. But I think the logical destination right now with A.J. Green, I mean, if you're Cleveland, West, can you pass him up? He's on the board.
No, I don't think so, to be honest. And you look at these two AFC North teams, Cincinnati, Cleveland, they want to run the football and they want to play power game, especially on first and second down. And I think if there is an advantage in that aspect, I mean, granted, you look at A.J. Green, you want to work off play action, get the ball down the field. But if you want a guy who can block for you, work in the three-step game, consistently get off press coverage, you broke down A.J. Green and he can definitely do that. But the more physical AFC North style receiver would be Julio Jones. I think he's the best three-step receiver in the draft. I think he's a guy who can block for you on all levels of the field. And a lot like Anquan Boldin, he doesn't have to be a great route runner at all the times because he can use his big frame, get in between the ball and the defender, catch it, and then use that big frame to create after the catch. He's a load to bring down underneath. I don't think he plays anywhere near that 4.380 ran, but what he does do is does a great job changing speeds, setting up corners off the line, initially accelerating into his route, making them open up their hips before snapping it off for a comeback, or slow playing it and then accelerating to get vertically down the field. So that's something, there is some polish to his game. I really like Julio Jones a lot, but I just think A.J. Green can be an elite receiver in the NFL.
Well, if Julio Jones gets past Cincinnati at four, and let's assume A.J. Green gets plucked off the board by Cleveland at number six, where do you see him going? I mean, how far could – I mean, obviously Washington at number 10. I mean, a lot of people, you know, have slotted Julio Jones there in late March. I mean, I understand that could be a possibility. They have no wide receiver depth, none in Washington. Santana Moss, I played with Santana. I mean, Santana's a great receiver, great guy, but he's not a number one anymore. He'd be great inside the numbers, but not a number one. I mean, that's a possibility. And then you start talking about later. Start talking about St. Louis. I mean, how nice would it be to see Sam Bradford and Julio Jones together?
Well, I think that's the case where I'm almost getting the feeling that Julio Jones goes 10 overall. Okay. I don't know if it's going to be to the Skins.
Right.
I don't know if it's going to be to the Rams. I think Julio Jones would be a heck of a player in New England as well.
Right.
Letting him get down the field and create after the catch. But I think with all those teams knowing how much St. Louis would love to have Julio Jones work in that three-step game. I mean, Sam Bradford worked consistently in the three-step game this year, getting the ball out on time, being accurate, allowing receivers to create after the catch. But they don't have any receivers there that can really do that. You put Julio Jones in that offense with Steven Jackson in that young, talented offensive line. I think he's that one game breaker. And with the Redskins at 10, they don't have many picks then after the first, second round. I think they would love to move back to 14, maybe get another third rounder. Well, they don't have a third rounder, but get a third rounder then. You know, really add to the depth of their entire draft. The Rams can get who they want. The Redskins can still get a playmaker at 14 and get more picks. I think it'd work out for both teams in both areas.
Yeah, you and I have talked about that before. The Redskins at 10, they're going to control the draft, basically.
Yeah.
They're going to control after the top 10 basically is over. When you get to number 10, they're going to control the rest of the first round because there's going to be a lot of people calling for that spot, especially if Jones is still on the board. And there's a lot of other players, too. We could talk about Cam Jordan, Robert Quinn. There's a lot of players that could be on the board there at 10 that someone's going to come up and snatch them.
Yeah.
But let's move on to more wide receivers, Wes. Let's start with Titus Young.
Your boy.
Get out of Boise. Yeah, we watched him. We talked to him. It was a great interview down in Mobile at the Senior Bowl. And let's be honest, he's the one wide receiver you and I both agree that kind of stood out in practice down there. Just his ability to separate from the ball down the field. His quick twitch movement at the line of scrimmage, I liked his release. He was very competitive throughout the week. You know, he did have some drops, I will admit that. But overall, when you come away from the Senior Bowl, he might have been the top player down.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's when I watched him on tape, he was the one guy where I saw fear in the cornerback's drop. They were scared to get beat deep. They were giving him such a cushion, and he had that second gear to consistently get behind him even when he gave up that cushion. But at the same time, there was a real snap to his game in and out of his routes. He wasn't the cleanest route runners, but he had the ability to quickly change directions and then accelerate. And I think when you get that much cushion and he has that good of a feel, snaps his head around quickly, and he can catch the football. I think it's more of lapses and concentration. Mm-hmm. When me and Joe watched him at the combine this past year, he had these white gloves on catching the football, and I swear, the guy looked like Mickey Mouse, this little guy with these massive white paws. It was unbelievable. But in your opinion, Bowen, you get a guy like Titus Young into the NFL, where do you see this guy being successful? From the slot, on the outside, and what type of routes do you think it's going to be a bear to match up with this guy when he's running them?
It is. I think like any young wide receiver, they're going to struggle outside the numbers against NFL DBs. You got to understand is that what we see a lot in the college game is off-man coverage.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's 7, 8 yards off the ball. A lot of zones, a lot of cover 4, a lot of cover 3. With these corners essentially playing man techniques and zone defenses, but they're giving – you want to run a curl route or slant, go ahead. You know, they don't have to work very hard to get off the line of scrimmage. That's my point. You don't see a lot of press man. But in the pros, that's what they're going to see every week. They're going to see it in training camp, too. And you're talking about guys like Champ Bailey, Darrell Revis, Cromartie. I mean, these physical corners at the line of scrimmage that want to get their hands on you. And that's the challenge. When I think of a guy like Titus Young, I mean, I don't know if I can line him up outside as a rookie. Now, inside the numbers, Wes, using him, pre-snap movement, lining him in bunch and stack looks, yeah, I'm really attracted to that. That's why I think he's kind of that second-tier class of receivers. I don't know if he's a first-round guy, maybe. But I think once we get into the second round, his name's got to start coming up because he is explosive. He is a playmaker. And he's a guy that can take an underneath crossing route, get upfield, and produce big-time yards.
Yeah, I think when you look at being able to generate big plays, and there's a lot of guys that run well in this year's draft class. Torrey Smith from Maryland, he's an out-and-out burner. Courtney Smith, he was a big, tall, strong guy that we saw at the Senior Bowl, dropped a lot of footballs, but at 6'4", he runs well. But Titus Young's the one guy, I think, that has that fluidity in the hips and the upside as a route runner and the ability to shake press coverage. Now, like you said, it's going to take some time, but the ability's there. And I think that's why you look at this guy. Well, he's got big play capabilities, but at the same time, he's not that linear guy. He's not stiff in the hips that can only run the fade route, the seven, and the post route. I mean, this guy can do it all, and I think that's what really adds to his value.
Yeah, and the matchup aspect adds to his value, too. You and I both said before, what about New England? What about Titus Young in New England's offense?
Goodness sakes.
Because that's the thing. You got to think, let's say Titus Young is a number three wide receiver when people bring their three wide receiver sets onto the field. Okay, what that means is you're going to draw the matchup of a number three corner or safety. All right? And I like those matchups. I like them a lot. Especially with when a wide receiver is in the slot now, that means they have a two-way go. What that means is they can release to both sides. And the line outside the numbers, you release outside, you're basically going to run two routes. It's a go and the comeback. That's it. That's all you can run from out there. But when you're inside, you release inside or out, you can run anything you want. You can run any route scheme from inside at that slot position. I like him there. Yeah. I mean, I'm interested to see where he goes, Wes, because, I mean, we like the kid talking to him. I know he does have some off-the-field stuff that has been brought up before, has been reported. You know, teams have to do some homework on this kid because he did have a suspension before. But the talent, without question, that's the talent's there.
Yeah, I think he's a guy that can come in, you know, a little bit of a different body type, but have that same type of Percy Harvin type impact early, where you put him in the slot, two-way go. Who can cover that guy? There's no corner in the NFL that can run with him, giving him a two-way go, unless it's Charles Woodson.
Yeah, you're going to need some physical corner that can get hands on him. Yep. And that's going to be also the challenge for all these guys, especially Tyus Young, getting off the line of scrimmage. Talk to me about Jonathan Baldwin. I mean, he's a wide receiver from Pittsburgh. I think you like this guy a lot. Talk to me about him.
Well, he's got some character concerns, and you worry about the diva and him putting in the passion for the game. People question his overall work ethic. The thing you got to look at with him is he's from Aliquippa, PA, and that's where Darrell Revis is from. And those kids are just brought up differently. It's a tough area out in western PA where all these guys have a chip on their shoulder. They're competitors. They love football. And I think that's the biggest thing with John Baldwin. You know, it's one of the main reasons why Revis fell a little further than a lot of people thought they would because of these questionable character concerns and what kind of guy is he. It worked out all right for him. Right. I think if you throw John Baldwin the football, like any receiver, he's going to be happy. And if you don't, he's not going to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
Same time, the guy's 6'5", he's 230 pounds, he runs well for his size, he's not a two-stepper, he's a strider that picks up speed as he goes, but the further vertically he gets down the field, the tougher he is to cover, tracks the football extremely well, can go up and make a play. I think he's shifty enough off the line and physical enough to learn how to beat press coverage. If you can get by the question marks about him potentially throwing his young quarterback under the bus this year, and you see it in the run game as well, you watch him earlier in the year, this guy was an absolute monster blocking, 6'5", 240. The end of the year, he could care less. So you just got to figure out what kind of kid he is. But if this guy's motivated from a talent-wise, Bowen, I think he's in the same stratosphere as a guy like A.J. Green and Julio Jones as well.
That's a big statement, Wes.
Yeah. Well, he's from a talent perspective. I mean, he's right up there with him.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a talented kid.
He's also 6'5". Two and change. I mean, he's a big boy, too.
A little Vincent Jackson in his game, to be honest.
You start talking about when you get into scoring territory, you know, the plus 30-yard line. So you start seeing the fade in the post with these type of receivers, these big, long receivers. Especially against cover two, you get a matchup against a safety and throw that deep seven, that deep fade, just go up and get the football. I mean, that's an option. And also down near the goal line. There's two routes around the goal line, the slant and the fade. That's when you need guys like this. That's why, you know, we talk about Green and Jones. I mean, shoot, I have no issue saying, okay, we're down at the 5-yard line, it's third and goal, sort of slant. Or if it lines up inside, let's throw the fade. Those are the type of routes you're going to get down there. And talking about size, power, and strength, those are the type of guys you want to have. Another guy, Wes, I think is still flying under the radar, Leonard Hankerson from Miami.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, a bigger body, ran really well, too. I think that was a big question mark for people is how fast he can run. But we ran in the 4.4s. I think you got to start saying this guy's stock is rising, too.
Yeah, and it's tough on draft day, Bowen, to have a guy that's 6'2", 220, running 4.4. They're not going to fall very far. And we saw him at the Senior Bowl. Good for a bigger guy, again, a coordinated kid, good short area quickness, can get out of his breaks. I don't think he's got a great burst in and out of his breaks, so I don't think he's a guy that's going to consistently generate the same type of separation initially as a guy like AJ Green and Julio Jones. But he's got the ability to go get the football. He can make plays vertically down the field because he is comfortable in jump ball situations. I think he's more of a number two. I think you need a guy next to him that can open up the field vertically. But there's nothing wrong with that because he's fearless over the middle. He can work the possession routes. I think he's a solid second round pick. I think he'd be a great fit in Green Bay. He seems like kind of that bigger physical guy that they really like. And you can use him all over, inside and out.
I wouldn't mind seeing him in Chicago either.
That'd be a great spot for him as well.
You're talking about two burners and Devin Hester and Johnny Knox that can open up the field. What Mike Martz needs is a bigger, more physical receiver that can run three-step routes.
Yeah.
So he needs, you put Johnny Knox. Johnny Knox is a great receiver in the NFL. You put him on slant route. I mean, he's not that big guy that can go inside and shield the defender. I'm talking about those three-step gain. God, I mean, people, this is one thing, Wes. People don't understand how important three-step game is to NFL offenses. It's huge. It's huge. When you have those third and five, third and six situations, that's what you run. You're not taking five-step drops, though. You're getting the ball in the quarterback's hand, and especially parlaying into that, the style of defenses we're seeing from Rex Ryan, Belichick, Greg Williams, etc.
Yeah,
they're coming after you. You better have a quarterback get rid of the ball, and you have to have a receiver can win at the line of scrimmage, get open, catch the ball, and take a big hit. I mean, that's why I think Hankerson's the type of guy that does become more attractive as we get closer to the end of April. And you mentioned a team like Green Bay, a team like Chicago. You start mentioning these teams who need upgrades to the overall depth of the wide receiver core. Not a true number one, but the overall depth, that's important to teams as well.
Yeah.
Couple more names here real quick, Wes. One hit it. Austin Pettis. Very productive in college. We saw him down in Mobile. Doesn't have, you know, elite speed, but he is a bigger body. Again, a three-step guy. Needs to work on his route running. From my perspective, he struggled to chop his feet and get in and out of his breaks. What do you think about him?
Yeah, I think I agree 100%. I don't think he's quite the athlete of Leonard Hankerson, but he tries to do the same type of things. He's a natural receiver, can go get the football. He's comfortable over the middle. I think he's got enough short area quickness to gain that step on a corner and then just box him out, go get the football. I don't know if I'm going to trust him on the outside trying to beat press coverage, but if you need that big number four guy that can line up off the line in the slot, you know, just work the middle of the field, pluck it, get down, move the chains on third down. I think Pettis can be that guy. I think he's going to make an NFL roster. He's just not a dynamic enough athlete to really consistently win outside the numbers for you.
Okay, Niles Paul from Nebraska, another guy we talked to and watched all week in Mobile.
I really like Niles Paul. If he can catch the ball more consistently, what you did in Mobile, I think this guy has the ability to be one of the top three receivers on your team. I think he can play outside. He's physical and shifty enough. He can create after the catch. I think he's got deceptive speed vertically. I think he's a decent enough route runner. Good enough in all areas to be a starter in the league. And once he gets his hand, he's got that running back build to him. They're tough to bring down after the catch.
Yeah, I agree. And I don't know what you want to call this guy. We call him a wide receiver. We can call him a cluster. But Randall Cobb from Kentucky.
I like Cobb a lot. He's a lot faster than I thought he was. I still think he's quicker than he is fast. But running 4.4, you no matter what surface you run on, he's a fast guy. Former high school quarterback. I think he's a slot guy only, but he can be a dynamic slot guy if he gets into the right system. Again, you can make the comparison to the Wes Welker, the Devin Best kind of player. I think he can be that guy. Plus, he gives you some trick play opportunity, being a former quarterback. Mm-hmm. Guys lined up all over at Kentucky, and yeah, he's the guy you want to stop anytime you go down and play Kentucky.
All right, Wes, one last question. I think listeners want to hear this. We know Green and Jones, whatever order, the first two wide receivers coming off the board. Who do you think the next wide receiver is that we hear their name on draft night in the first round?
Honestly, Bowen, I think it's going to be Torrey Smith from Maryland. Really? From everything I'm hearing, I'm not a big fan of his game. Reminds me, he's just too stiff-hipped. He's a guy who I think consistently is just going to have to take the top off of defense. He's going to run the fade. He's going to run the seven route. But if you're asking him to get in and out of his breaks, I just think he's too stiff, and he's not a real natural plucker of the football. every time I see him catch, balls into his body. But I think that speed that he has is just really going to, like Darius Heyward-Bey did the Raiders a couple years ago. I think he goes in the late portion of the first round, even though I like guys like Titus Young more, Leonard Hankerson. I think it ends up being Torrey Smith, to be honest, even though I wouldn't touch him until third. I think he's more of a mid-round player.
What is it with Maryland, all these guys that can run? How come they didn't win more football games?
Yeah, it's a good point.
What's going on over there, man? Got these guys running 4.3s left and right. Al Davis must love Maryland, man. Yeah.
I mean, they even have the offensive tackle that runs 4.7.
That's true, man. They got to start winning some football games out there.
Win the ACC. They lost their coach this year.
That was terrible. That's a different discussion. That was a terrible move. Maryland fans. You should have held on the fridge.
But still, with all that speed, why don't you bring in Leach as well? Could you imagine Mike Leach running that offense with all those speed? That would have been fun to watch.
That would have, yeah. I would have liked to see Mike Leach in Miami, too.
Yeah.
That's another discussion for another day, Wes. I think we're out of time. I think, you know, one player that I'm very interested to see is Hankerson. I don't know why. I just want to see where he goes and what he does as a rookie. But anytime you're talking about a wide receiver doesn't have a lot of hype, I mean, I understand there's more talk of him now, but at the size and build and runs in the 4.4s, I'm intrigued by that. And I think that's somebody you can work with and develop, eventually play a pretty prominent role as a rookie, like you said, and maybe number two at best, but still play a role and contribute. That's the one guy I'm curious to see who goes after him. We start talking this, I think he's a second round grade. We start talking about that second round tier of prospects. I'm very interested to see, like you said, team like Chicago, team like Green Bay goes after this guy and puts him in the rotation. It'll be fun to watch. But next time we're going to talk DBs, a lot of top tier corners. Patrick Peterson, Wes really likes Brandon Harris out of Miami. Jimmy Smith from Colorado, we'll get into that discussion. Talent versus character issues. Does it translate in the NFL? We'll also talk about the safety position. A real down class this year. Let's just be honest, Wes. It's not a class that you're going to write home about. There is no Eric Berry nor Earl Thomas, but there is still a lot to get into. We'll be back next Sunday talking defensive backs. Until then, we'll see you later.